Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton and our producer, Katie Galley, for another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. But before we get into it, Stone, let's recap our listeners about our weekend.
You mean the ribs or the visit with the Harvard Debate Council? That was a lot of fun. What was your favorite part about that?
It was amazing to see young people that poised, and I thought the Brandon did a great job in coaching them up and mentoring them and to get them ready to work in the business world. It's amazing.
These were high school kids, and I thought that they just had an incredible amount of poise, because you challenged them a little bit on several points, and I thought they did a fantastic job. And looks like we're going to have an opportunity to have them come in here periodically and be on the air and share some interesting stories.
Yeah,
huh?
From their perspective, it'll be great.
Yeah, plus we'll throw that Harvard logo around.
We'll get some mileage out of that.
Absolutely. All right. But this is going to be a fantastic segment today. We get a chance to welcome an old friend back in the studio. So please join me in welcoming co-founder with 31 South, Miss Tammy McQueen. Good morning.
Good morning. Such a pleasure to be on the show this morning. Thank you so much for having me back in the studio.
Well, Tammy, last time you were here, you were with Sales Loft, but I guess lots have changed since then. Can you update us?
Quite a bit has changed, and really excited to be here this morning talking about 31 South. And last year, I made the move, had that entrepreneurial itch that they say you take that proverbial leap, and you're never quite ready. And off I went and joined an incredible group of entrepreneurs who, this is not their first rodeo. They've been there, done that, and took me under their wing. And we started 31 South. Each of us at the time were doing something very similar on the agency side. And we looked at each other, known each other for years, and said, well, we're either going to compete against each other or join forces and be a huge force to be reckoned with. And that's what we did.
So now, what's it like to go from the kind of the other side of the table? From you were with a client and you were with a startup at the time, and you got to experience the rapid growth of, you know, once you start getting traction and then explosive growth, to now going back into kind of a startup mode where you're kind of have a lot of blank sheets of paper and going boldly forward.
Exactly. And Sales Loft is a phenomenal story. Really, the hyper growth that I saw there is unique in the market. And I think it's a once in a lifetime experience where we went from zero to 100 miles per hour, what seemed like just about every single day. And seeing that growth really inspired me to be able to do that on my own with our team. And you know what quite tells you?
Because you were like, oh, anybody could do this. Look.
Let me tell you.
One for one. How hard is this? Yeah.
Oh, not at all. Let me tell you, that surrounded by an incredible team is really the most impactful thing that you can experience in your life. And I think a lot of people that come out of college into a Sales Loft or a Terminals or some of the other great Atlanta startups, MailChimp, really don't quite understand how fortunate they are to have that experience. It's not the standard for the industry. And coming out of there, no one quite tells you how hard it's going to be, but it's tough out there. And I think just trying to understand what it is you're looking for, how to accomplish it, and being around an incredible team that hustles just as hard as you do every single day, day in and day out, is what is going to set you on the right path.
So now, how is 31 South serving folks?
We serve folks on both the B2B and the B2C market. And so we either come in and say, great, you have a marketing team, but how do we switch it up a little bit? How do we breathe some fresh air into the organization and understand the alignment between sales, marketing, and customer success, where we can look at the different processes, what is working, what's not working, and what can we amplify in the market as well? So if you have an existing team, we come in, do a full deep dive. We call it a 31 raid, not necessarily an onsite. So we come in and we shake it all up and we figure out what's going on and deliver a report that is, this is what you can do individually with your internal team. And these are some of the items that are low-hanging fruit that we can help you accomplish. Alternatively, if you don't have a marketing team, and this is what we've seen more and more often, especially in the Bay Area or larger markets where the talent pool is incredibly competitive to find the right people, attract the right people, it becomes expensive as well. So not only do they want the snacks and the keg and the activities that go around it, but they're starting to ask for more. This generation of employees really want a lot more, and it's hard to give that when you're an early stage hyper growth company. Mm-hmm. And so we'll come in and we'll be the entire outsourced marketing team, everything from your strategic understanding of where and how marketing is going to play into the revenue streams, as well as the opportunities to scale your content, your account-based processes, as well as events, roadshows, and look at the opportunity that they can scale. We would then help them along their way to find the right people to bring into the organization.
So now you're targeting companies all over the world. Is that
we are in hyper growth mode? We are. So we are really looking at scale ups, not necessarily your startup model, but really folks that are growing quickly and are amplifying where they are already. So we work with companies that are in San Francisco. We have clients in LA. We have couple clients in Atlanta. And then we're working with a company in the UK that helps companies go to market in the US and understanding the landscape of what it's like to launch here versus in the UK.
And then it sounds like you're leveraging all of the kind of the David Cummings toolbox, all of the Sales Loft, Terminus, account-based marketing, that kind of methodology.
For sure. You can't go wrong with that. They've been there. They've done it before. A lot of the processes that David has unrolled into a lot of the Atlanta Ventures companies, whether it's the one-page strategic plan, how you grow your leadership, build a team, those are all true aspects and concepts of the company that have been done before. They've tried and tested, and we would be just so privileged to be able to have that mentorship surrounding our organization.
But so methodology-wise, that you're borrowing some of that playbook into 31 Sound?
Absolutely. Yeah. We use SalesLoft, and it is a product that we're able to leverage and reach out to a lot of our clients. We use it for our clients as well. Mm-hmm. And the playbook is really unique in understanding what it is. And that serves as your foundation. That's really and truly a solid foundation. But what we found is that where we can truly be different is offering that white glove approach to a lot of our clients. Not everything is going to be the same, but understanding what it is that you can do in the market and how we can support that from a specifically tailored approach.
So is there a story behind that name, 31 South?
Well, I can give you
the legend.
I can give you the Time magazine version or the Barstool Sports version. No, it's really an interesting approach. We had one of our co-founders, Roman Grimaldi. He was thinking, we thought we had a spreadsheet. We were thinking of names. That's probably the hardest part of starting a company is naming
it. The hardest part.
I think that could be the hardest part. It's a toss-up. It's
that
a toss-up.
That
and the first payroll, but I'll tell you that much. And he had randomly come up with this name and put, you know, three guys, one girl, the South, South Africa, the South. And we started diving into what does the number mean? And it's the number 31 is rooted in creative pragmatism through numerology. And it has a lot of basis. And then we started finding out that the longitude and latitude lines aligned with South Africa and Atlanta.
Wow.
Really unique. I mean, so we went with that. We weren't even stopping. That's it. We got it.
And you didn't even consider 13.
We didn't even consider 13.
I'm glad I asked.
So now part of the services you provide is experiential marketing. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Of course. This is truly my sweet spot and where I really enjoy understanding what companies are doing in terms of creating an indelible experience for their customers and their prospects. And this is something that falls by the wayside so easily. You see a lot of these big conferences, your Dreamforces, your HubSpot inbounds. And while they are making a huge impact on the industry at large with the content that they're producing and those mass experiences, it's hard to go in there as a brand and truly shine and stand out. You often are behind a booth and you are waiting for people to come to you. You pay top dollar for that booth, upwards of 30, 40, 50,000. I've been there where I've seen it cost up to $1 million to have a booth. And there you are standing. You bring a ton of people out and it takes them away from the workforce and what they're doing every single day. And it's no longer effective what the traditional conference model looks like. And so what we do is create an experience, a periphery event around a trigger event. So we'll tap onto a Dreamforce, we'll tap onto a HubSpot inbound and create an event alongside that for the client where they can invite the right qualified people. So they're not there scanning badges looking for the right people. They already know who they want to invite, who their top prospects are and who their clients are, and get them into a room. Now, whether this is your traditional steak dinner or it is a adventure offsite or something that allows them to come inside where they can feel safe in this environment, they're around like-minded people and they can have those conversations. We are currently working on a roadshow with a client that is a Techstars company, graduated last year in Atlanta, and they are doing their initial coin offering at the moment, moving toward that. And we're doing their roadshow in several different cities. And we found that this is far more impactful than just going to an event to exhibit or to show what they're doing. And so at this roadshow, what we're doing is next week, this week actually in Puerto Rico, is called Restart Week. And it's truly a lot of effort surrounding the rebuilding of Puerto Rico, how that all these different events in the crypto space is contributing a lot of all those efforts back into the community. And we are hosting an event on Thursday night, specifically at this Restart Week for the client. From there, we'll go to Los Angeles and to Dallas and then Denver. And then the team will go to Dubai on this roadshow.
Now, when you're working with a client and you're trying to explain to them, hey, you know what? There's lots of people here, tens of thousands, sometimes 100,000 people attending, but we're only going to target, you know, what, 100? Or you're really going to the bottom of the funnel, right, with this strategy?
We are. We're understanding who they want to attract. We want to make sure that we have the right amounts of people in the room, but the right people that if you look in at your different accounts, who's top tier, tier one, tier two, tier three. And in order to measure that on a revenue scale is the number of people in your tier one accounts, how many of them are in the same room at the same time? You can have 100,000 people, but if only one person matters, it's going to be really hard to find that one person. But if you focus on who needs to be in the room and really bring them into the room and understand what they're looking for and how you can cater to the problems and solve their problems, that is when it really makes a difference.
But the number, you have to convince them that it's more important to have, you know, quality, deeper relationships with a handful of their tier ones, right?
And I don't think it's a matter of convincing them. They understand a lot of the times that if we have the right people in the room at the right time, that's what's going to be impactful. Now, finding those people is what's the hardest part.
Identifying them?
Identifying them. I think that's quite a challenge for a lot of companies, is to understand who it is that they need to talk to, especially if they're quite early stage, and understanding what is the right mix of your customers or your prospects in the room, or even influencers. It's really important when you're hosting these experiential events is not only to have prospects in the room who you want to do business with.
So those are maybe
customers, strangers
or you don't know very well.
Not very well, yes.
And you want some like kind of the evangelists in the room too, right?
You want those evangelists in the room, but you also want influencers who are going to have that great experience, who are unique to the in, they're not on one specific product. So they're likely to speak about it different. They're agnostic to what you're doing and are willing to talk about it. Now, a great strategy for bringing folks in is reaching out to the customers that you do know and the prospects that you do know. And you have that, ask them, please, who do you think would be impacted by this event, we would love for you to bring someone along with you, invite a friend or invite someone else in the industry who could benefit from this community as well.
So now when you're working in these kind of emerging technologies, like you mentioned blockchain a little bit, and I guess I would assume you're doing artificial intelligence and anything around that, what challenges does that have? Because they are so new and they are so volatile.
It's a great question. I'm glad you asked it. There's so much noise around both blockchain and AI at the moment. And there's a lot of noise by people who are jumping on the bandwagon to talk about it. You hear about a lot of scams in blockchain.
Right. They just mentioned the word blockchain.
And everyone scares away. And this is a huge issue, especially from a branding standpoint, is how do you convey your company? What are you doing in the market? And it is so important that you are conveying it in the right approach, the way that you advertise, because you'll see a lot of ads on Facebook, on Twitter, that are just pounding all these different scams.
Right.
And the way you approach this is really going to dictate your presence in the market. And so with that is a lot of these companies want to move very quickly, because you are on this leading edge of technology and you have to act quickly. The competition is rife. And so because you have to move so quickly, one of the biggest challenges is understanding the industry very well from the true fundamentals of what the technology does, how it's built, and who is doing it well. So finding those flagship companies that have been there, that have done that, that have had a successful exit, or who are backed by reputable investors, and that is truly doing your research while moving quickly, is probably one of the toughest things to do.
And then how do you kind of get those established firms to even have conversations with these up-and-comers that might have something, you know, worthwhile? Because they have to, you know, the established firms have to, are still bombarded with all the scammers and all the other things. So they have to be able to discern who's real and who isn't.
Right. And doing the due diligence on all of these companies truly is what is rooted at their approach. Some of these investors, most of the investors who are credible and are knowledgeable in the industry have done their due diligence. There's a lot of companies and firms out there that make sure that they are on the leading edge of only vetting reputable companies that have that are backed by, for example, Techstars or a 500 Startups or a Y Combinator, so that they do have that already in the foundation.
And that's the crowd that you guys hang out in with those people that have graduated from those programs?
We have in the past. We are currently. However, we work with many different companies, not unique to those accelerators. We are tied into the Atlanta market with the Atlanta Tech Village, which is our home. And we also work with other companies in Atlanta that are putting out incredible, incredible technologies.
So now when you're working with these incubators around the world, how are you identifying which are the ones that are good fits for you guys?
We look at several different aspects as how can we help them grow? And if we can help them make a significant impact on their revenue, we have a look at what their brand presence is at the moment. And we look at opportunities for us to partner with them and also help them in other areas. If we're looking at a UK company, how can that really escalate in the US? And is there a market for them to do really well?
So when you're working, that's at the company level, but when you're working with these accelerators are kind of lead gen for you, right? The more relationships you have with these.
Absolutely. The entire market is relational. I don't care what anyone says. You can send as much, you can drop flyers from the sky. If you don't have the relationships that are fully rooted in the community, you are not going to move mountains whatsoever. It is truly relational. And again, with the white glove service tailored to who you are working with is going to be most impactful for times to come. And that's really where the word of mouth comes into it. As traditional as that seems, you can have billboards down the road. But if you have not created those incredible, memorable experiences and moved a needle for a client, it doesn't matter at all.
So now, when you're working with these accelerators, they're opening the doors, at least introducing you to these startups that might be on a path to hypergrowth. What's that first conversation with them like? Are you trying to determine, okay, do they have a marketing team in place? If so, then I can offer them this. Or if they're if they don't have a market team, then they get kind of package B. Like, how are you kind of, what's the give and take look like?
At startup stage, we typically look at where they are at the moment. A lot of times we see them through to their first round of investments and then take them on. A lot of times early stage founders, first time founders need to get their knees scraped up a little bit first and understand where they are in the market before we really want to come in as an outsourced agency and say, this is the direction you need to go. They have their vision, their mission that they need to truly root in before that we come in and mix it all up and shake it all up.
But that's the value you're adding, is that you're the fresh eyes and the kind of the voice of experience that have been there and done that a little bit.
On the startup side, certainly. And looking at it from an advisory role is also very impactful. And understanding where they want to go. And if it makes sense, we typically act as an advisor at the very, very early stages.
And then what's that advisory role look like? How does that play out?
The advisory role looks at their marketing functions as well as sales and their customer success, because all too often you see marketing and sales act in silos.
Right.
And very siloed organizations don't necessarily continue on a very smooth path of momentum in the later stages when they really need to crank the volume on what they're doing. And so we'll say to them, look, let's understand, is marketing in tune, in alignment with the sales organization, and really make sure from the get-go that they are talking to each other, that they are communicating, that marketing is in a sales meeting once a week, and that sales is communicating to marketing, hey, your leads are great, or they not at all. We need to talk about this. And I think that's where you see the biggest friction in an early stage organization is that marketing and sales just don't communicate well enough to each other.
And then you've added in also the customer success, because that's a lot of times, especially in the account-based marketing world, where once you've infiltrated an organization, there's an opportunity for rapid growth.
Absolutely. Marketing is typically seen as the team that gets them through to sales, hands them off to sales, and then they wipe their hands. They're done.
Right.
That's not the case. You have to see marketing through the sales process and then hand them off, and then you switch over to your customer marketing and making sure that you're servicing them with the right knowledge-based articles, that you're servicing them with the right information to be able to keep them in tune with the community, with the use of the product, and continue on that part. So you're looking at churn numbers and you're looking at how the overall customer success unit is serving them.
Now, for you, have you, you've been doing this for what, it's over a year now?
Almost a year.
So any good success stories you can share? Anything that you're proud of at this point?
Gosh, I think just being proud of starting a company is a huge, flag on top of the mountain and at the summit. So that has been really, I don't think people realize how it's easy to stay safe. I think it's, and really building a team is a huge accomplishment for us. What we've done, we've had a great opportunity to work with some incredible clients. We are in San Francisco in the Bay Area once a month for a week or so. We host an event out there for founders and CEOs. And so we partner with a company out there called Sysend. They focused on the Salesforce implementation and demand generation. And so we bring together a community of founders, CEOs, and we have a cocktail hour, happy hour, where they know that they're not going to be pitched or sold to. And it's creating this incredible community. And from that, builds into that relational aspect that we have built so many great connections with to build into different clients.
So outside of work, what have you been up to since we talked to you last? Are you still involved with Women Who Code and some of these other things?
Yes, Women Who Code. I run the global social strategy for Women Who Code, an incredible organization. We have 137,000 members in 60 cities and 20 countries around the world. It has been an incredible opportunity. The board is top class, and we are hosting our signature event, Connect, on the 28th of April at the Twitter headquarters in San Francisco. Looking forward to over 700 attendees.
Wow.
That's exciting. So that's one aspect. And I am still heavily involved in the nonprofit world with the Cooler Project and also the Global Conservation Corps. I'm not sure if I mentioned that the last time I was in here, but we help rangers on the ground in Southern Africa fight poaching against rhinos. And so what you typically see is from the South African Wildlife College, the rangers aren't compensated enough. And so what we do is we raise funds to be able to pay the rangers and the future rangers, their children and other children in the communities, to be able to train and understand how significant this role is. And the reason this is significant is because poachers know that these rangers are not compensated well enough, and so that they're able to bribe them.
Right,
and
to look the other way.
It is, and right. That's unfortunate. And so that is our goal there. We're hosting an event on the 29th of March in Atlanta. It's called Winos for Rhinos.
I like it.
And why is it important to you to dedicate so much of your time to nonprofits?
I'm so glad you asked that. And I think it's a low-hanging fruit for so many people that are in the business world that have so many skills to offer. All too often, nonprofits are very lean. They don't have enough hands on deck. I joke about it, but it's so true that nonprofits are often run like an intramural sports team. They don't have the structural foundation around them. Many times they do, but being able to use the skills that I have every single day that I've done for years and years and years, whether it's social media or extending into my network to be able to do that. That is absolutely what I'm going to do. And I'm able to come into these nonprofits and see how I can get my hands dirty and help as much as I can on the ground.
And then make a real impact in a pretty short amount of time.
And make a real impact in a short amount of time, extend myself out into my network that I have and the team's network as well, so that we can truly have an impact on it. And I think if everyone dedicates or at least finds a way that they can impact something, it doesn't have to be conservation, it doesn't have to be animals, it doesn't have to be Africa, it can be here in our own city. And if you think about it on the local level, what can I do for my city? What can I do for my state? What can I do for my country? And what can I do for my world? And finding something that moves you. And that's really important. I've found that if it doesn't truly pull on my heartstrings or make a big difference, it's tough to do. It's tough to stay motivated and stuff. And so I would really urge folks that are looking to join nonprofits or become involved is that you have to find something that gets you excited, that don't mind pulling those extra hours at nights and dedicating to the cause. Because it's long. You've got a hard, hard job anyway. And so being able to dedicate extra time is huge. And it's significant. It makes a big difference.
And then any advice for entrepreneurs or people in these high growth firms, if they're trying to get their marketing act together, what's some tips that you can share?
Oh, number one, talk to your customers. That even if you just have 5 customers, talk to them, understand what they are looking for, some of the problems. You're going to get the best feedback from your customers.
Okay, so talk to your customers. Let's get granular. What does talk to your customers mean?
So if you have 10 customers, talk to them. Get on the phone to them as the CEO, as your VP of marketing.
And ask them what?
Ask them, what are you using in the product? What works for you? What doesn't work? What is clunky? What do you want to see? What if you could have the perfect products in front of you that you are using, what would that look like? What are we not doing? Are you happy? Are you happy with the service that we're providing? You're going to not want to ask these questions, but it's very important in the early stage that you ask these questions. You're going to get the best feedback about your product. And then as you grow that customer base, it's going to become more important to, you're going to start filtering out. Because if you start changing your roadmap every time a customer asks something, you're going to not get
anything done.
So it's important to understand what they're doing. From a marketing standpoint, understand that when you do marketing, that it aligns to your brand and it aligns with your vision and your mission. So if you're going out there doing something completely off brand that doesn't speak to what you want to accomplish in the long term, you need to steer away from that.
And then for you as an organization, what do you need more of?
Relationships. Relationships, introductions. We want to work with the right people who share a common vision and mission with what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We really value people. And that's the biggest part of the business. It's not about number of clients. It's really the right clients.
And then if somebody wants to learn more, what's the best way to get a hold of you guys?
The best way, we're online. Our website is 31south.io. I'm on LinkedIn. It's Tammy McQueen. And on Twitter and social media, we are 31 South.
And then the pain that a company or prospective company for you is having is what? Have they plateaued, or they need, or they're having a difficult time managing their growth? What's the pain they're having where 31 South is the right fit?
They're not moving the needle on their getting the right leads in. They are not moving the needle on their revenue attribution, understanding where it's coming from. And then also brand amplification, getting people to talk about them, having exposure in the market as well.
So anything along the lines of maybe they've hit a point where they're not growing as fast as they were before, or they're frustrated by the results that they were having that they're not having anymore, it's time to bring in the 31 South folks.
Yes, there's definitely a combination. And also, you don't want to get to that point where you're stagnant right. either.
So if you can get ahead important. Of it, it's better.
Absolutely.
All right, that's 31south.io.
That's right.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure.
This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton, our producer, Katie Galley. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.